Today we'd like to see the title of war in Isaiah chapter 31. To a non-worthy soul through MP3 or YouTube channel on the earth, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapter 30 verses 1 and 2, what to do the valiant children, says the Lord, who take counsel, but not over me, and who devise plans, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt, and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. What do these mean, and what can you learn from here? Question to you in chapter 30, verses 9-10, that this is a rebellious people, lying children. Children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceit. What do these mean, and how can you apply these to our lives? Last question, chapter 31, verse 1. What to those who go down to Egypt for help, and they on horses who trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord? What does it mean, and what can we learn from here? Rabshakeh, the chief soldier of Assyria, ridiculed Hezekiah, the king of Judah, in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 19-21. Then the Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, this says the great king, the king of Israel, what confidence of this is which you trust? Now look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into the hands, pierce it. So is the Pharaoh king of Egypt to all who trust in him. Hezekiah first tried to negotiate with Egypt to help Judah from invasion of Assyria, who had conquered Israel without asking God. So right here is a map, is the chapter 30, verse 4, the Joan city right there, the Nile River is the low level over there, Joan, but over there high level is Haines there, so you may see a map, that 20 kilometer size is 12 miles. The difference, the Nile River is the difference right here, 20 miles, the other one, here, 20 kilometers. So you may see that, Egypt's map. So, chapter 30, what to rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Verse 2, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked me otherwise, to strengthen themselves in strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. So question 1 here, in the attack of Assyria, who was cruel, Judah took a human counsel to go down to Egypt, which would help. When we face urgent difficulties, we tend to search an easy way out of without the counsel of God or without asking in prayer to the Lord. That's according to the flesh. or after flesh rather than after spirit, or according to the spirit, because the things of the flesh cannot glorify God or please God. Romans 8:4-8, you may read that. Basically, the work of flesh is always against the work of the spirit. Verse 3, therefore the strength of the Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. Even Egypt looked the light, strong, and great help. Egypt ends in shadow, weakness, and humiliation, because nobody is equal to God. First of all, for his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Haines. See the above map. Judah sent her princes or leaders to the Zoan in the lower Nile River, and the ambassadors to the Haines in the higher Nile River. Verse 5. They were all ashamed of a people who could not benefit them or be help or benefit, but a shame and also a reproach. Judah ended in a shame and a reproach, was without any help or without any benefit from Egypt. Verse 6-7, the burden against the beast of the south. Through a land of trouble and anguish, from which came the lioness and lion, the viper and the flying serpent, they will carry their riches on the backs of young donkeys, and their treasures on the humps of camels, to a people who shall not profit. For the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore, I have called her Rahab Hem Shabbat, or their strength is to sit still. God gives the warning against Egypt, like the beast of the south. God used Egypt as a beast. Through Negev desert, the land of trouble and anguish, with the lioness, lion, viper, fiery flying serpent, Judah people would carry their riches and treasures through donkeys and camels for Egypt's help. But Egypt would be profitless to Judah, because Egypt would be helpless and aimless. And so God is called Rahab Hem Sabbath, or Rahab's strength is nothing. Rahab is a beast like Leviathan, the crooked serpent. Rahab, which sat on the Nile River, looked so powerful but had no power. So that's a cross-reference right here, Isaiah 27, verse 1, Job 41:1. That is a cross-reference. Verse 6, now go, write it before them on a tablet, and note it on a scroll, that it may be for time to come, forever and ever. God asks through Isaiah a writing on a scroll, to be forever. Verse 9-10. That this is a rebellious people, lying children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophet, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, prophesy detail, deceit. A rebellious people, or dishonest people, the disobedient people, desire liars, smooth things, or deceit for their itching ears, rather than the law of the Lord, right things, or truth, through the seers, or the prophet. That's a cross reference, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3-5. Verse 11, get out of the way, turn aside from the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. They get out of right way, turn aside from the path that the Holy One of Israel stops to work before them, so that the Holy One stops to work before them. God would not violate our human free will, the gift. If you are with God, God will be with you. If you forsake you, God will forsake you. But if you seek Him, He will be found by you. You will find Him. Okay, verse 12. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perversity and rely on them. God told how they were rebellious. They despise the word of God. It is observed if you love God, you would love God's word. It's heard that many say we love God, but a few love His word. Here, in the oppression of Assyria's attack, they trust in perversity and relying upon Egyptians. Verse 13-14. Therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a bridge ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take a fire from the hearth, or to take water from the cisterns. This iniquity or sin to rebel against God or to disobey His word causes certain destruction, like a high walls breaking through a breach and bulge, and the vessel broken in pieces, to be utilized to take a fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern. 15 up to 17. For this says the Lord God, Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. But you would not. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee. And when we'll ride on swift horses, therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at threat of one, and at threat of five you shall flee, till you are left as a pole on top of a mountain and as a banner on a hill. Although God asked them to return to God and to wait for Him in quietness and confidence, God will take care over but God will take over it and save you from Assyrian invasion. That they rejected because they would flee on the horses brought from Egypt from Assyrian invasion. However, they shall flee on their pursuers shall be swifter than them in their 1,000 fleeing against one pursuer, and their people fleeing against one pursuers, and few remnants running up to top over a mountain or a hill, like a pole or a banner. Verse 18, therefore God the Lord will wait that He may be gracious to you, and therefore He will be exalted that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is the God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. God is gracious, merciful, and just. He waits for you and exalts you. All those who wait for him, who works, is blessed. Here, grace is a freely given gift to you who don't deserve anything. Rebellion against God is a sin. You deserve punishment for that sin. Justice is calling for the judgment against that sin, for the punishment. Mercy is wiping out the sin for the punishment. So if you repent the sin, God will wipe out the deserved punishment. Verse 19, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem and prayed to the Lord God of Israel to deliver Judah from Sennacherib, king of Assyria, the invader. Then Isaiah delivered his word on which God had heard. 2 Kings chapter 19, verses 20 up to 26. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, the word of affliction, yet you teachers will not be moved into corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to right hand or whenever you turn to left, you will also defile the covering over your image of silver. And the ornament of your molded image of gold, you will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, God, get away. Then he will give the rain for your seed, with which you sow the ground, the bread of increase of the earth. It will be fat and plentiful. In that day, your cattle will fill in large pastures. Likewise, the oxen and the young donkeys that work the ground will eat curried fodder, which has been winnowed with the shovel and fan. There will be on every high mountain and every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter, when the towers fall. Moreover, the light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord binds up the bruise of his people and heals the stroke of their wound. Just turn your life over to God, and God will begin to guide you and direct you. God may be showing you his love by patiently working with you through difficult times, while God gives the bread of adversity, the word of affliction. They destroy all idols or man-made things or whatever love more than or equal to God, getting them away. Then God will give a plentiful blessings, rain for seed, bread of the increase, the fat cattle while eating and working, oxen, donkeys. When God gives you victory, it's going to be a restoration of the land, of rain and rivers and streams. God is just going to blast and remove the smog and the impurity of the air, so there will be the brightness of the moon and of the sun. Then is verse 27 up to 30. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger, and his burden is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, his tongue like a devouring fire. His breath is like an overflowing stream, which reaches up to the net, to sip the nations with the sieve of futility. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. You shall have a song, and in the night, when a holy festival is kept, and the gladness of heart, as when one goes with a flute to come into mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel, the Lord will cause his glorious voice to be heard, and show the descents of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, and the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering tempest and hailstones. Now God talks about the great tribulation period against the enemies of God on the earth in the light of his anger, full of indignation, his tongue like a devouring fire. But you will be rejoicing with the gladness of heart as one who is going in to worship God, coming in to meet with God. Verse 31. For through the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be beaten down as he strikes with the rod, and every place where the step of punishment passes, which the Lord lays on him, it will be with the tambourine and harps, and in battles of a brandishing, he will fight with it. The Assyrians, 185,000, were killed by the angel of the Lord in a certain night. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, ran away and was assassinated, as God told here. Then the Judah was worshiping God with tambourines and harps. That's a relevant evidence, right? Close reference, 2 Kings 19:35-37. 33. For Tophet was established of God. Yes, for the king is prepared. He has made it deep and large. It's a pyre, it's a fire with much wood. The breath of the Lord, like streams of brimstone, kindles it. Sheol, the Hebrew, or Hades, the Greek word, is a hell, or a fire hell, at death, or his return in heaven. Abyss, A-B-Y-S-S, or a bottomless pit, the bound place for Satan, upon Jesus' returns on the earth. Tophet, the Hebrew word, and Gehenna, the Greek word, is the lake of fires at the great white throne judgment. This is the final destination of Satan, devils, and unbelievers. They follow. Death and Hades are cast therein too. This is the second death. Here, Tophet, the unquenchable fire of a lake, like a fire of a funeral pyre, or stream of brimstone, is prepared for a Sennacherib king of Assyria. That's cross references right there. So, 31. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariot because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. This is question 3. Without seeking God, they are so bad to go down to Egypt for help with many chariots and horses. Help 4. They did not obey God's word not to return to Egypt to multiply horses. God loved the obedient people because they glorify God by their obedience, as Jesus obeyed God to even the death of the cross, and hereby Jesus glorified God. To obey his word is better than the offerings or sacrifice without the obedience. Offerings or sacrifice must be consequences of your obedient heart, because God, the owner of the earth, wants to be loved by you, not materials without heart. First two, yet he who also is wise and will bring just and will not call back his word, but will rise against the house of evildoers and against the half of those who work iniquity. God is wise and faithful, bring just against the evildoers and the helpest of those sinners. God's word is never altered, but is faithful forever. Verse 3. Now the Egyptians are men and not of God, and their horses are flesh, not spirit. When the Lord stretched out his hand, both he who helpeth will fall, and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. Egypt is a type of flesh against the spirit. The helpers and the helped will fall. Here is number one, the warning against trusting in flesh, such as Egyptian and their horses. And verse 2, exhortation to trust in the Lord. First of all, thus the Lord has spoken to me, as a lion roars and a young lion over his prey, when a multitude of shepherds is summoned against him. He will not be afraid of their voice, nor be disturbed by their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down to fight for Mount Zion, for Israel. A lion is a figure of God. A lion eats up his prey, not disturbed by many shepherds' yelling voice or noise. The Lord will come down to fight against Assyria for Mount Zion and for Israel, as God did through his angel, Sheobaba, chapter 30, 31-32, verse 5. Like a bird flying about, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem, defending. He will also deliver it, pressing on. He will preserve it. The birds are protecting their chicks by flying around attackers. Like snakes or foxes, attackers such as it's a prophecy. Close to the end of World War I, Turks occupied the ancient Jerusalem. Then British forces were flying over the city of Jerusalem continually in the night. The Turks fled away from Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was able to be protected. Verse 6. Return to him against whom the children of Israel have deeply revolted. This is quite an indictment against rebellious Israel. Come and return to the Lord. 7-9. For in that day every man shall throw away his idols of silver and his idols of gold, sin which your own hands have made for yourselves. Then Assyria shall fall by a sword, not of man, and a sword, not of mankind, shall devour him. But he shall flee from the sword, and his young man shall become forced labor. He shall cross over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the banner, said the Lord, whose fire is in Zion, and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. In a day, they will throw away all idols, man-made things, or things which they love more than or equal to God. God miraculously delivered them from the Assyrians through the sword of angels. Assyrians were stricken and ran away with the fear of God of vanity and fiery protection in Zion and in Jerusalem in chapter 31-32. Don't trust in Egyptian, their chariots, horses, or flies. Trust God. He will direct you for ultimate victory. Even in difficulties, you may rejoice in Him who handles them in His way, handles His time and His good purpose. So we covered all three questions. Let's see. Right here, page 9, the Lord continued with His church, Book of Acts, chapter 29. Then is 10, continue to pray for joyful, thankful, and safe for mission, first step tour for education and evangelism during next month, the end of October. So, good news right here, following the Lord's direction to share gospel in season or out of season. So continue to keep on praying. Also, last one, keep on praying for Muslim country for Saul, including Morocco. So believe the family from over 2,000 dead people from the earthquakes. So we continue to keep on praying for them. Afghanistan, especially to unmarried women's high baby death rate in childbirth. So keep on praying. Afghanistan especially women's the rights according to Bible, also children, the baby's rights as well. So let's sing all together. Maranatha song on bulletin.